Now, welcome to Reality Check. This is Mahatma Das. I'm here with Akrura, and today we're going to be speaking about a very important subject, which is self-discipline.
Hare Krishna.
Before we begin, I want to talk about self-discipline in relation to people who feel they're not, by nature, self-disciplined. Some people we see are more controlled, more focused, find it easier to be self-disciplined, and others feel that it's just not their nature to be self-disciplined. And usually when people are like that, or if you're like that, you hear the background, that's the rain on the roof. Don't bother with that. If you're like that, then it's likely that you would say something like, well, I'm not disciplined, or I can't be disciplined, because it's not my nature, it's not the kind of person I am. I'm more spontaneous, and I just find it very difficult to be a highly disciplined person. So if you're like that, for you I would say you have to try harder. Don't use that as an excuse. And it's the same for anything. People's personalities are different, and some people have certain attributes or qualities, or find it easier to manifest certain attributes and qualities than others. And so if you find anything difficult, any of the things that we've been speaking here about in the reality check shows, if you find any of those difficult, my suggestion would be those are the things that you really have to work harder on rather than just give up. So, having said that, I'm going to turn it over to Akrura, and we're going to see what he has to say about self-discipline.
There are areas of self-discipline that we see in the lives of devotees, like sadhana. This is a big area. Everybody wants to improve their rising early and japa and attendance of the morning program. Then service. And relationships, life management, finances, personal self-renewal. And can you think of any other, Mahatma Prabhu?
In general, I would generalize and say that anything that a person wants to accomplish well, they require a tremendous amount of focus. And the focus requires self-discipline, and it also requires understanding priority. So if we take whatever you've said, you know, you could add any area of life or any particular thing which somebody wants to accomplish or achieve. And so I would say the self-discipline of focus, being able to focus on something when you don't feel like it, which I think you'll give the definition of what self-discipline is, because the big obstacle is we have to do something we don't feel like doing.
Yeah.
When we don't feel like doing it. Do you want to give the definition?
Well, I want to give some Srila Prabhupada's statements about self-discipline. Self-discipline means not to identify with this body. Then he said that obedience is the first law of discipline. If there is no obedience, there cannot be any discipline. So part of self-discipline is to follow the instructions of the sadhu, shastra, and guru. Disciple means one who follows discipline. In the Bhagavad Gita purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the constitutional position of a living entity represented by Arjuna is that he has to act according to the order of the Supreme Lord. He is meant for self-discipline. Then, for brahmacharis, the brahmacari, under strict observance of discipline, comes to understand the values of life along with taking specific training for a livelihood. Without being self-controlled, without being disciplined, and without being fully obedient, no one can become successful in following the instructions of the spiritual master, and without doing so, no one is able to go back to Godhead. So this last quote is very, very important. Srila Prabhupada said, really, really stresses the importance of discipline.
Can you read the last one again?
without being self-controlled, without being disciplined, and without being fully obedient, no one can become successful in following the instructions of the spiritual master, and without doing so, no one is able to go back to Godhead.
You know, one thing that's really amazing in the Nectar of Instruction, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pashta Vegam, where it talks about the qualifications of a spiritual master, one who can control the urges of the tongue, the belly, the genitals, the mind, anger, and so forth. And one would think, well, if one's a spiritual master, where's the question of controlling those? They're naturally controlled. But in the verse, it says, one who can control the urges, these urges, or one who can tolerate. So self-discipline requires that realization, a lot of what I'm saying here is a lot of times when we find it difficult to control our senses or to control our mind or to discipline ourselves, again, we go back to that, well, that's just the way I am, or I'm not that advanced yet, and when I'm more advanced, I'll be able to do it. Where in that verse, it takes a different point of view. It says, no, that the qualification of an advanced devotee is that even in spite of the fact that those urges are there, or those tendencies are there, my tendency to be scatterbrained, my tendency not to be self-disciplined or focused, okay, it's there, but I tolerate it, I override it. So I think that's an important factor, because otherwise we'll think, well, I'm just not there yet, so I can't do it, as opposed to what you're saying is, no, you can do it now. You can start from wherever you're at and become self-disciplined.
I would like to acknowledge that there are challenges in becoming self-disciplined, and I want to mention few. For example, not understanding why I should be self-disciplined. Then not being convinced how much it is beneficial for me and how much it will bring me good results. Then just pure tamagun, like laziness, lack of motivation, lack of determination, having a tendency to stay in our comfort zone. And can you think of any other?
Well, Srila Prabhupada said, if we exhibit patience, but there's no enthusiasm, then we'll become lazy. And he said, if we exhibit enthusiasm, but there's no patience, then we'll want to control everything. So the way I look at self-discipline, it's a form of control, but it's not controlling other people. We tend to want to control other people more than we want to control ourselves. Like they say, everybody wants change, but they want other people to change. They don't want to change themselves, because that's the hard work. So what you're saying is it's hard work, and there has to be a motive, a reason. I would say, in my own experience, one of the biggest motives for me is just the lack of an ability, of the ability to accomplish goals or to accomplish them in a relatively short period of time. You know, we procrastinate. We just put it off because we don't want to do it. In some seminars, they, right in the beginning, on the first day, they tell people, I would like you to find two things you've been procrastinating on for the last 6 months or year and do them tonight, just as a practice. So we could offer that to the listeners. Find something you've been procrastinating on and do it. That requires some self-discipline.
So whether we feel like it or not, we should do things. We should try to force ourselves for our own benefit, and in this way stretch and overcome. To discipline ourselves, to do what we know we need to do in order to become a very best devotee. I would like to give a definition that I got from the professional world, and you all already mentioned a few of these points. They say that self-discipline is the ability to make yourself do what you should do when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. So it's very important. It's not just about how we feel, but what needs to be done, what is the best thing to do.
They also say, do what you don't like to do first, if you have a list of things to do.
Mm-hmm. Eat that frog. Do the most, the thing that you would tend to resist the most, first thing in the morning. That this is what we teach when we try to help devotees with procrastination. So it's easy to do something when you feel like it. But when you don't feel like it, it is when you don't feel like it and you force yourself to do it anyway. This is the point when you move your life and service onto the fast track and you move it forward.
You were asking me the question, what other things could I think that would motivate someone to be more self-disciplined?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we find that's common both in the lives of devotees and the lives of non-devotees is that people want to achieve a higher level of success in whatever area of life they choose. And if we're not where we want to be, it's highly likely we're not disciplining ourselves. We're not focusing on our goals, our priorities, but we're focusing on things that are not important. And I find this very, very common. And we focus on things which are not important, maybe not important because we like doing them, but they may not be getting us to where we really want to go. It's like it's easier just to kind of be more spontaneous. So I think it's an important realization for people to have that if you have specific goals or if you're trying to achieve a certain state of Krishna consciousness and you're finding it difficult, it may be that your life is very unfocused. And so the more that you focus itself is a form of self-discipline. So it can be motivating to see that if I'm more self-disciplined, I can achieve what I would like to achieve that I'm not achieving presently.
So we want to give you actually 7 steps to self-discipline, very practical ideas how to develop our self-discipline. But before that, what is very important is to make a decision that you want to become more self-disciplined. So I want to ask you, what decisions do you need to make today in order to start moving forward in your spiritual life or in any other area of your life? So whatever it is, either to get in, to get out, to get through, just make a decision today and get started.
Can you give an example of a decision some devotee might make?
Oh yeah, my favorite one. To chant 16 rounds in one go, first thing in the morning without interruption. We have been, even in London, we had groups of devotees committing, and then we also report to each other about this decision and this goal. And it was amazing how, you know, everybody was so enlivened, everybody wanted to keep it up and to continue doing it.
That's really important because often, if a devotee is not inspired in Krishna consciousness, it is likely because they're not following the process well. So to commit to following the process well can make a tremendous amount of difference in a devotee's life.
This will come if someone is convinced that it's beneficial for him.
What you're saying also, there's great power in making a decision. It's like Prabhupada says, if you decide to fast, once you make that decision, then the fasting becomes less of a challenge because you've committed to it. So decisions are commitments. And so it's psychologically when we make the decision, now we put ourselves on the track. I'm going to do this. I'm committed. I've made a decision. And when you understand how decisions are made and what decisions are, decisions only take a moment to make, although they may be simmering in your mind for months or years to finally make a decision, but it doesn't have to be that way. Because ultimately, you make the decision in a second, and it has great ramifications, positive ramifications.
So when we make a decision, Krishna actually gives us more power to achieve what we want to achieve.
Yeah, well, we're showing Krishna our determination. Ultimately, the determination comes from Him. He gives us the determination in reciprocation of our commitment.
So we want to give you 7 steps to self-discipline that we hope will help you to really achieve your goals and become more self-disciplined.
And then we'll discuss each one. You'll read one and we'll discuss it and Okay.
Yeah. So first one is decide what you want. Decide exactly what it is that you want in each part of your life. Become a meaningful specific rather than a wandering generality.
So this relates to the point I was making earlier, which is very common, that if we're not clear on what we want, we tend to do a lot of things that don't really get us where we want to go. And, you know, at the end of the day, the end of the month, the end of the year, we're not satisfied with where we're at. And one of the great lessons that I learned from you, Okura, is focus on what you want, be clear about what you want, and then work on it daily. I think that's going to come up here.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find so often with people, either they don't know what they want, and thus they can't work on it daily because they don't know, so they just work on what feels good, or they know what they want, but they're not focused on it.
Mm.
This has not become a priority, or as we're saying, it could be difficult, and so the self-discipline required doesn't come about because they'd rather just do what they like doing.
Yeah.
It's a very, very common problem. So if you think of a circle and all the things you do in a circle, you do one thing, then you go jump to the next, and after you go around the circle, you end up in the same place. Rather than go ahead to achieve what you want, you've just gone around in circles. Very common problem. I did that for years. I was working on so many projects, but it wasn't focused on achieving a particular aim. It's just people would ask me, could you help with this? Could you help with this? Could you do this? So I was just going around in a circle, like Prabhupada says, the dog chasing its tail.
Second step is write it down. Very, very important. It has been proven in thousands of cases how people who write down their goals are more successful in achieving their goals. So write it down clearly and in detail, and always try to think on paper, because a goal that is not written is merely a wish, and it has not much energy behind it.
So this is interesting. I've heard that writing connects with the subconscious. When
mm-hmm.
you write something down, it connects with the subconscious. This goes back, I think for a lot of people, there's some fear. I don't know exactly why. Maybe you could help us understand that. I think there's some fear of writing down a goal, perhaps because if you don't have a goal, then you can't really not reach your goal, so then everything's okay, you know, I'm okay and my life's okay. Whereas if you have a goal, then you cannot reach it, and then you might feel like, my life's a mess, or I'm a failure, I haven't reached my goal. So I think that's part of it, and just the acknowledgement of a goal, what it will also do, it will mean that there's certain other things in your life you're going to have to eliminate, because you'll realize you can't do everything. Generally, you can't do everything you want to do and still achieve the goal. So I think these may be two reasons people who hear that they should write down their goals don't. Just, if I write down my goal, it's like it's really going to restrict my life. Then I'll have to be self-disciplined. I'll have to be focused. I'll have to develop all these qualities. Now, that might sound funny to some people, because people who are like that would say, no, I write down all my goals because I'm a very focused person and disciplined. So again, going back to those of you who are not that way, that may be one reason you wouldn't write them down.
Yes, there is a fear of clarity, because clarity brings immediately more responsibility. If you clarify on paper what you want, then you are also responsible for that goal. Step number three is set a deadline. So set a deadline for your goal. Deadline acts as kind of a forcing system in our subconscious mind. It motivates us to do the things that are necessary to make our goal come true. And if it is a big enough goal, then we can set some sub-deadlines too. So we shouldn't just leave things to a chance.
One way to look at this is look at your goals as you look at anything that you have to do in the day that's on your to-do list. I have to go to the post office, I have to go to the bank, I have to go shopping, I have to do this at work, whatever it is, you have a to-do list. Most people have a to-do list. So when you set a goal, then, as I mentioned before, it's really important to work on it on a regular basis. So that it, all it really, I mean, what you're saying really, if you're going to simplify it, it just means whatever your goal is, it's got to become part of your to-do list. You know, I put a deadline and I needed to get it done by this time. It's quite simple if you look at it that way.
Whereas a lot of people
just have goals, but the problem is, what do you want? Well, I'm planning to do this and this and this, and then you'll ask them, well, what are you doing to get there? Where's your to-do list that's going to help you achieve that? And they'll say, I don't have one. Well, that means it's unlikely. Well, they may be a special person, and that's the way they think, but in general, it's unlikely they're going to get there or get there quickly unless they're working on it.
So this is exactly our fourth and fifth step to self-discipline. The fourth step is make a list. So make a list of everything that you can do to achieve your goal. Write down all the tasks and activities until your list is complete. So I have seen in working with devotees and working on my own goals, when you write all these things you could do to achieve your goal, you become excited and it becomes more probable, more possible, and you become enlivened. And then the important thing, after you have a list, then this is step number 5, organize your list. Organize it into a plan. Decide what you will have to do first and then what you will have to do second. Decide what is more important and what is less important. And then write your plan on paper the same way you would develop a blueprint to, you know, like, to, for example, to do your dream service for Krishna.
This is, you said something very important. And now I can't even remember what you said.
Related to what?
Related to... Oh, no, I remember now. Yeah, see, I'm getting old. So I can't remember something that I just heard a minute ago. No, you said something very important, which is a lot of times when we have goals, they're kind of obscure because we can't really figure out how we're going to get there. I really want to do something, whatever it may be. But often we can't really figure out how we're going to get from where we are to be able to achieve that goal. And so what that does in that state, it really diminishes our energy and our effort to achieve that goal because it kind of seems improbable. So you used the word probable. You said by writing down everything you can do to achieve your goal, it starts to seem probable. And when it starts to seem probable, then there's energy there. There's enthusiasm because now you see, well, if I do this, this, and this, and this, it will bring me to this level, and then this will be possible. And then if you take the steps, the logical steps all the way through, then you can see, well, actually, if I follow this program, it is possible that I will be, in 6 months, I will be here. And previously, I thought, I had no idea how I would get there. So then, at least what I've experienced, then you don't have to force yourself to work on your goals, because now you're so excited and you see the steps to get there, you just spontaneously want to work on it. I mean, if the goal is really important to you.
You can't wait to take massive action. So our sixth step is take massive action intelligently. So think about what is the best way to take vigorous action on your plan, then do something, do anything, but get busy with working on your goal, on your goals, on your plan. And get going, but intelligently. Don't just rush in the mode of passion or like crazy. And use your intelligence and energy most effectively and most efficiently. And we have step number 7. Do something every single day that will move you towards achieving your goal. So develop the discipline of doing something 365 days each year that will move you forward. And you will be absolutely astonished at how much you will accomplish when you utilize this simple formula in your life every single day. So the key to success is action. And if we do something every day, even a little thing, then we will be coming closer to our goals and Krishna will help us.
You always say it's better to do something than do nothing.
I'm saying that it's better to do something imperfect than nothing perfect.
Okay, folks, don't do Make sure you don't do nothing perfectly. So this was what Gokura was coaching me once, and he told me, work on something, work on your project every day, because I wasn't working on it every day. And he gave me some ideas, simple things that I really didn't consider was working on my project, but I later realized even the simple things were directly inspiring me to move forward. And one of the things that I adopted was that when I really couldn't sit down and work on it, I would tell somebody about my project. I'd see somebody, a devotee at the temple or whatever, and they'd say, how's it going? And I'd say, well, I'm working on this, I'm doing this. So I felt, at least if I'm talking about it and letting people know, maybe you can help, this, and clear, I would become more clear about what I wanted to do by talking. So that was my bottom line. If I couldn't physically work on it, I would at least tell somebody, you know, or tell your spouse, this is my project, this is what I'm going to do, because it creates energy that at least I'm thinking about it. It's in the forefront.
You keep yourself inspired and moving.
Yeah, this is what I'm doing. And it doesn't have to be some big project. It could just be about your japa. This is my goal in japa, and I'm working on it. It doesn't have to be, you know, we're not talking about, you know, building a temple or a big project. It can be anything.
So what would you see as the benefits of being self-disciplined?
I would say the main benefit is that you're going to be more a devotee, anybody, is going to start seeing that their goals are going to be reachable, and then they can continually make more goals. They'll have a means of achieving them rather than just running around in circles. And you know, 10 years later, what happened in the last 10 years? Well, not much. And also, I think another benefit is you can gauge progress, because if you're running around in circles, you can't, and you don't have a specific goal. How do you even know you're running around in circles? Because you don't know where you're going, so you can't gauge it. Whereas when you ask somebody, well, you know, how are you doing? What have you accomplished in the last 10 years or 5 years, whatever? They might look back in shock and say, not much. What's the reason? Everything you said. They were not clear about what they wanted to achieve, and they were not disciplining themselves to achieve it and not working on it regularly.
So here are some more benefits. We will be able to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions and get his mercy by following them. Then purification is the result also of self-discipline. Better focus, especially on the things that are most important, that matter most. Peacefulness. We will be more peaceful when we are self-disciplined, because we will be doing what we are supposed to do. We are doing our duty. We are doing our daily commitments. Then, of course, surrender to Krishna. We need self-discipline in order to surrender every single day. And also inspiration. Because when you see that you can control yourself and that you can focus on what is most important, and if you feel that Krishna is pleased, then you become so inspired.
You hear that rain in the background? You can imagine we're in the Amazon jungle. another way I like to look at self-discipline is more in the lingo of what we as devotees are familiar with. And we're very familiar with the idea of sense control. And when we speak of sense control, we generally think of it in terms of controlling our eating, the amount of food we eat, or what kind of food we eat, eating in a way that doesn't become an impediment for our bhakti, sleeping what's required, not more, not less, controlling our sexual desires, controlling anger, and like that, you know, what we might call the grosser forms of sense control. And I think it's important that we look at self-discipline as a form of sense control, perhaps even a more difficult form of sense control than these other forms. It involves controlling the mind, disciplining the mind. It involves disciplining our time. It requires a lot of self-control to discipline our time, to utilize the time that we have efficiently to show up on time to be working on a particular project. And when we're meant to be working on that project, we actually work on it rather than check our email every 10 minutes and surf the internet. And so all these forms of distraction, if we see them as forms of sense uncontrol, then it can help us. Otherwise, we'll just say, oh, I'm sense controlled. I didn't eat too much today, and I slept a proper amount and so forth. But what about how you're utilizing your time? How well are you focused? How well are you prioritizing? You didn't speak about priority, but I think that's an important aspect of setting goals. You mm-hmm. know, when we talk about setting goals, what's most important? And you were asking about the benefit. Well, if you isolate what's most important and you actually do it, then obviously you're going to feel successful as a devotee. Not only will you feel it, but you will be successful as a devotee.
I would like to ask our listeners a question and to induce them to recommend that they make a personal action plan and start working on their self-discipline right away. So the question is, what one thing, if you would do superbly well every single day, will have a greatest positive impact on your life?
What one thing,
yes,
if you do superbly well every day,
yes,
would have the greatest impact on your life?
Positive impact.
Positive impact. What yeah. one thing? I think for a devotee, there are many things.
Well, many devotees tell me if they improve their chanting in yes. the morning, like that. That's really, I mean, that's my experience too.
Okay, I have something to help devotees with this. Because now we're talking about priorities. What one thing? So if you wrote your priorities down on a piece of paper and then you numbered them in order of priority, what's amongst, let's say, five priorities, what's the most important? So you write, why don't you do this now or later? Write down five things. What you feel are the top five most the top five priorities in your life. I don't feel well. I'm a little sick, so my brain is not working. I got too much exposure in the sun this weekend. So you list your five top priorities, and then you number them according to what amongst those five is the order of priority. Now, once doing that, I want to ask you a question. If I were to live with you, but I were invisible and you didn't know I was there, and I was given an assignment by Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, Mahatma, I want you to tell me what are the top five priorities of so-and-so das or so-and-so dasi, and I'm going to empower you to live to be with them all day for a week, and you'll be invisible and they won't see you. And then I would like you to come back based on not what they told you their priorities were, but based on what you saw. Now my question to you, is my list of your top five priorities going to be the same as your list? It's just a good way to look at it, good way to think about it.
Yeah, so it's not what we think or what we say or what we wish that will show us what is most important to us, but exactly what we do. So in developing your personal action plan, it's very important to check what is your commitment. So I always ask devotees, what is your commitment on a scale of 1 to 10? And very rarely they would say 10. So we then look why it is not 10 and how to make it 10. And then also this goal has to be very specific, measurable, attractive, realistic, and time-bound. This is a SMART goal, S-M-A-R-T. And
can you say that again?
SMART goals?
Yeah.
Yeah, specific, measurable, attractive, realistic, and time-bound.
That was too fast. Can you say it slowly?
Specific, which means clearly defined. Measurable, which means tangible, quantifiable. Attractive, it should be inspiring for you. Realistic, within your capacity or influence. And time-bound, it means that it has a deadline.
This being specific is so important. I think we can't overemphasize the importance of being specific. Just like someone might say, I want to chant better rounds. That's not specific enough. Well, what does that mean? Well, I want to chant from the heart. I want to pray. Or I want to hear every mantra perfectly. Or I want to, like you said, I want to sit in one place. So I think the specific part is very important. What's the next one?
Measurable.
Measurable. So there's some way you can evaluate how you're doing. And this on a scale of 1 to 10, evaluation is very important, because then you know if you're failing or you're succeeding, and you need to be aware of that. So I want to hear every mantra. Well, at the end of my 16 rounds, how did I do on a scale of 1 to 10? And well, I only did a 6. What would 10 look like? That's an important question also. What would a 10 look like? Well, a 10 would look like this. Okay, so now I know what I'm shooting for. What's the next one?
Attractive, inspiring.
Yeah, if it's something that ultimately doesn't inspire you, you'll likely give it up, unless you're this super, super determined person. I think you once made the point that unless something is attractive to you, you can't perpetually just go on based on your determination.
How to deal with something that is not attractive? So like devotee says, I have to do something boring, like pass one exam that is very boring, and I don't know how to motivate myself. So I ask them to look at the reward which comes behind it. What is it that you will achieve? Let's say you have to learn how some computer program works, and it's very boring. There's a very technical learning. But then, once you know this, you have this skill of dealing with this program, you can create so many wonderful things. So if you see the reward which is behind this boring task, then it also becomes an attractive task.
And it's probably that reward behind the boring task which initially inspired you to study
exactly
that subject in this particular case. Or chanting, focusing, controlling the mind is difficult, but what's the result? So higher taste. And a closer relationship. I mean, there's so many benefits from improving our chanting. We can't even begin to list them. So if, like you say, if one's having difficulty being determined, if one just reads about the glories of the holy name, if one wants to improve their chanting, just reads about the glories of the holy name or the effects of pure chanting, certainly that would be inspiring.
Next one is realistic, but I liked, you told me once that why should we set realistic goals? We should set unrealistic goals.
Okay, so
or impossible goals.
I mentioned, Akura sent this list to me once in one of my comments. And I said, well, in our line from Srila Prabhupada, we don't really try to do what's realistic. We try to do, as Prabhupada said, shoot the rhino. And, of course, Prabhupada's coming to America, from a practical point of view, seemed very, for him coming to America and being successful, seemed highly unrealistic. So it's really in our line that the impossible becomes possible by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So what people are saying here is if, for some people, if you set your goals too high, you won't reach them and you'll become discouraged. But there's the other idea, which Prabhupada said, if you shoot for first class, you'll get second. If you shoot for second class, you'll get fifth. So because we're doing it for Krishna, we want to do it as best we can. And the point is that if you shoot for a higher goal, you'll ask yourself different questions. If you shoot for a lower goal, you only ask the questions, how can I achieve that goal? If you shoot for a higher goal, then you'll ask the question, well, how can I achieve this? And then you take on a different attitude, or you look at it from a different point of view. Well, if I want to achieve this higher goal, I would have to do things that I wouldn't normally do to achieve the goal if it were lower. So that's, I think that's really in line with Vaishnava philosophy. And the last one?
The last one is time-bound, has a deadline.
Yeah, so we already discussed that. Otherwise, there's no urgency. you know that story? They're building the Vrindavan temple. And Prabhupada was always asking them, he wasn't in Vrindavan, he's always asking them, what's going on? Where is the building? Let's see something. I want to see something. So it was very difficult just to get the building materials, the bricks and the sand and the rebar, whatever they required. So they sent a picture to Prabhupada. He wanted to see what was going on. They sent him a picture of the building materials. There's no building, just the building materials. So what do you think Prabhupada said? Do you think he said, oh, this is very nice. He said, I want to see the building. So Prabhupada was really, really the master of urgency, because he knew patience without enthusiasm will turn into laziness. We can just go on forever. So he really was the master of creating urgency within us.
But he didn't want excuses, he wanted results.
Yeah, he never. One of the things you'll see by reading the Lilamrita is that if somebody did something wrong, of course we should apologize. But really what Prabhupada wanted was to know how you're going to rectify it, what you'll do. That was much more important than just apologizing. Because apology requires rectification, if it's a real apology, and that's what he wanted.
So I want to give a few more practical tips how to deal with your SMART goal. Write it down, read it daily. This means you have a notebook or a planner where you write down your goals.
Or you put it on the wall.
Print it out, yes.
Put it on your mirror. Look at it. Mirror.
Actually, I tell devotees, put it above your bed, put it above your desk, put it on the refrigerator, put it everywhere, basically, to remind you. Then do something every day that moves you towards achieving that goal. And point number four, very, very important, create accountability. Report to someone. This is very, very important. If we find someone, whether it's our coach or somebody like peer coach or a friend or a spouse, or even you can report to your child if you want, then you feel more pressured, more obliged to work on your goals.
A devotee just sent me an email yesterday with something that is totally amazing. It's called interpersonal prayer. And they just started doing this. It was just an idea he had. I don't know where it came from, but it's such a good idea. He said, you tell another devotee what you want to achieve, and the devotee tells you what they want to achieve, and you both pray for the other person.
Amazing.
And he said it's having amazing results. So now, not only, of course, as you're saying, we create accountability, but not only is there accountability, but then there's this person praying for you who certainly you don't want to let down. Plus, you have all that positive energy of prayer. So when I read this, I thought, we should do this. Every devotee should do this. Every temple should do this. It would be so powerful. And then I wrote a GBC and I said, we should have prayer vigils going on while the GBC is meeting and pray for their success. Because if we don't, you know, it's likely if we don't pray for others' success, we just want to pull them down.
Yeah.
We want to look at their faults and criticize them.
So we also did something similar with some devotees. We are chanting extra rounds for each other, for the benefit of each other. And it's very enlivening. It improves our relationship. Good things are happening on both sides, and so this kind of inspiring goals, inspiring things, actually also help us achieve and become more self-disciplined. I would like to mention something else about taking action. Now that if you have decided, made a decision to be self-disciplined, few things that will, just to review what we have been discussing. First, decide exactly what you want. Write it down with a deadline, make a plan, and then take action on at least one self-discipline goal today. So it may be the thing that I mentioned, that the thing that will have the best positive impact in your life. You can choose one thing. It may be japa, it may be, you know, reducing eating, working on your diet, it may be applying for a job, or different things like that. This is first. So second, determine the price you will have to pay to achieve this goal, and then get busy paying that price, whatever it is.
Can I say something?
Yes.
When you were reading that, I was thinking, the problem with creating the deadline is that we're going to have to work. And if we're lazy, it's better not to have a deadline, because that way we don't have to discipline ourselves, we don't have to do the difficult work. We can just take it as it comes. Just go with the flow. So I think that deadline can be scary for many people, but it's exactly, if it's scary for you, if you're listening and it's scary for you, it's exactly what you need to do. It's going to help you so much. And the other thing is work. Well, this is going to be hard work. I don't want to work hard. Okay, if you don't want to work hard, that's fine, but you're not going to achieve your goal. At least not, you're not going to achieve it timely, or you're not going to achieve it to the degree or the level that you want. So you're saying here, understand the price you're going to have to pay. So I think before you can do the deadline, you really have to understand what's involved and then agree.
Yes.
Agree, and then the deadline won't be so scary.
And also we have to pray to Krishna for the ability. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, Krishna says, I am the ability in man. So he can give us all the intelligence and the strength to work on our goals. And it's very, very important to make sure we are inspired to work on our self-discipline goals or any other goals that we want to achieve. I tell devotees that it's your responsibility to be inspired. So when someone is inspired, then it's easier to be self-disciplined.
You know that saying, obstacles are those things you see when you lose sight of the goal?
Yes.
So anytime we're not inspired, it's probably... It's either the goal is not inspiring, or if the goal is inspiring, we're just losing sight of it, and then the obstacles become bigger. And then, I just wanted to make another point in what you said about using your intelligence and Krishna supplying intelligence. Not everything you do is going to work, but the intelligent way is to analyze what's working and what isn't. And don't become discouraged if something doesn't work. Just be like Einstein and say, now I know it's another thing that doesn't work. And because people can become discouraged when something's not working. So just keep adjusting. Move forward step by step. If you're not successful doing this, ask yourself, why? Why didn't it work? What can I do that would work better? Sometimes you even need to learn a particular thing. You may need to say, well, it's not working because I don't know enough about it. And I need to read.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, a lot of people think, well, I can't do it because I'm not good at it. And they don't think, well, I could learn. You know, well, I'm not good. I can't play guitar. Did you ever take lessons? No, I just tried to pick it up and play. Well, some people can pick it up and play. Some people can't. You can take lessons. You can learn. So don't put yourself up against a wall or a corner and think, well, I can't do this. That may be true in some cases. It may not be you may not have the aptitude. But in many cases, it's just you lack information or knowledge. So thank you for listening. And please, this is something that if you really would like to apply, you're going to have to listen to this again, and you're going to have to listen with a paper and pen and note these points down. And as Akura said, you're going to have to put into action, because if you just listen to this and know it, it's not going to help you. It's only going to help you if you do it. So we are praying for all of you that you do this, because it's going to make a huge difference in your life.
Yes.
So thank you for listening. If you want to contact Akura, this is what Akura does in his coaching. He creates accountability. He does all these things with you. So if you feel perhaps it would be easier to do these things with a coach, then contact Akura at akura@pamho.net or AkuraD at Skype or vedicilluminations.com/Gita Coaching.
Or Facebook, Akura Dasa.
Facebook, Akura Dasa. If you would like to contact me, mahatmadasa@gmail, mahat@aol.com, or tstrain.com. Thank you for listening. Hare Krishna.